Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you here today. It's a special service today, isn't it? And I don't know, I certainly feel a sense of weightiness about today. There's a solemnity about today, isn't there? And yet there's an oxymoron, isn't there, about the idea of this day being a good day. Good Friday. What is there that's good about an innocent man being killed? Of course, there's nothing good about that, is there? It's not a good day. So what's good about Good Friday? Well, what's good is not the death of Jesus. What's good about Good Friday is what that death of Jesus achieves for us. And one of the wonderful things that the death of Jesus achieves for us is forgiveness. On the cross, Jesus is paying the price for our forgiveness. That's what's good about Good Friday. The passage that Matt read out to us, Jesus says that we are a forgiven people, and that as a forgiven people, we should also be a forgiving people. But the reality is, forgiveness is hard. I don't know what your household is like, but it plays out almost every day in our household, the need for forgiveness. Yesterday it was Play-Doh, someone cheating in the game. And then, of course, we have our adult squabbles between mum and dad as well that go on occasionally. There's always consistently need for forgiveness, and it's always hard. Have you thought about what's so hard about forgiveness? I take it that forgiveness is hard because there is a cost to pay to forgive. And the cost to pay when you forgive is borne by the person who forgives. See, when someone hurts you and you forgive them, you are enduring the pain and the hurt that has been done to you, and you are asking for nothing in return. You bear the cost and you let them off completely free. That's how forgiveness works. Forgiveness is costly to the one who forgives, but it is free to the one who is forgiven. And that's exactly how it is for us and for Jesus. Forgiveness was extremely costly for Jesus, but completely free to us. And Jesus says today, if he has paid such a great price for you, then surely you can pay the lesser price to forgive each other. Forgiven people must be forgiving people. I'm just going to pray that the Lord would encourage us and speak to us today. So let me just pray together. Father, we just pray that as we open your word, that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, help us to see that we are a forgiven people. But help us also, Lord, to be a forgiving people. Father, would you amaze us by the wonder of your grace, your mercy towards us in Jesus this morning. Would you amaze us enough, Lord, that we would gladly and freely forgive each other. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you do have your Bibles, you might want to have it open to the passage that was last read to us in Matthew chapter 18. And we're just going to read through from verse 21 onwards. Peter comes to Jesus with a question in verse 21. If you read the passage before, it was talking about sin and sinning against each other and sin in the church and how do we deal with it as sinful people when we sin against each other. So that's the topic of discussion. And Peter comes with this question, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Now, Peter here is being very generous. He's seen that Jesus is pretty kind and forgiving, and so he's going to what he considers to be a reasonable amount of forgiveness. If someone wronged you seven times and you forgave them, you would be giving yourself a good pat on the back and saying, how good am I? Seven times I've forgiven them. There'd be brownie points for that. But amazingly, Jesus goes far beyond what you or I or Peter, I'm sure, thought was reasonable. Have a look at Jesus' amazing response to Peter's question. Jesus answered verse 22, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. And of course, the point here isn't us to have a specific number. It's not like we count, well, that's 76, one more, no more forgiveness to come after that. No, you would never be able to keep count. Jesus is saying we are to forgive one another without ceasing. We are to forgive and not keep count along the way. We're to forgive again and again and again. There is to be no limit on our forgiveness towards one another. Now, Peter must have been sitting there thinking, this sounds impossible. How on earth am I meant to forgive like that? Why should I do that? Won't people take advantage of me if I just forgive and forgive and forgive? And so Jesus tells a parable, a story, a made-up story with a meaning. And he tells this parable so that Peter and you and I would understand why it is that we must forgive each other without limit and how it is that we can do it. So the parable tells a story of two debtors, two servants in great debt. The first servant, we're told, is indebted to the king himself, and he is called in to have his accounts settled, to pay his debt. Oh, we're told in verse 24 that the amount he owed was 10,000 bags of gold, or some of your translations will say 10,000 talents. A talent was about 20 years' wages. 10,000 times 20 years' wages. It'd be like saying you owe $1 trillion. It is an impossible amount to repay. It is an unpayable debt. And the servant for failing to repay the debt which he cannot pay is that he deserves to be thrown into prison. He, his family, and have all his possessions sold. That's what he deserves. And so this man in desperation can only do one thing. All he can do is plead for mercy, to get down on his knees and beg. And so he does in verse 26. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Now, of course, he could never pay back everything. He just couldn't. But the king understood that. His heart went out to his servant as he pleaded for mercy. And the king had compassion and mercy upon his servant. He asked for an extension of time, but he's going to give him so much more than that. Verse 27, the servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. Can you imagine how that servant felt? His debt wiped clean. 10,000 bags of gold that he no longer had to repay, set free. Of course, what this is a beautiful picture of the good news of what God does for us in Jesus. You see, God is the king in this story, isn't he? And you and I and Peter, we are the servant. And what we owe to God is an unpayable debt, a mountain of debt. See, every time you have sinned, every time you have said, done, or thought something that is wrong, you have added to your pile of debt to God. God says that you are to worship him only, that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and mind and strength. Every time you fail to do that, every time you've loved something else more than him, every time you have disobeyed his word, you have added to your debt time and again, day after day, your mountain of debt has grown. God says that you are to love your neighbor as yourself. See, every time you have wronged someone else, you have also wronged God. And you've added to your pile of debt. See, how great is that pile? A lifetime of debt. See, 10,000 talents of gold, 10,000 talents, 10,000 bags of gold is a good representation of the debt that each of us owe to the Lord. It is an unpayable debt. And you and I, like the servant, deserve to be thrown in prison. We can't repay it. Our only hope is to do exactly what that servant did and get down on our knees and plead for mercy. And the wonderful thing that this parable tells us is that God is merciful. He will hear our cry for mercy. The parable begins by saying, therefore, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like this king who went to settle accounts. It's like this king who is amazingly merciful, who forgives debts completely. See, no matter how great your debt is, no matter how big a pile you have, how much you have accumulated, our God is a God who will cancel it all and set you free with nothing to repay, completely forgiven. God forgives all sin, past, present, and future. See, this is the good news of the Christian faith, that our God is merciful. He cancels our enormous debt. Now, of course, this is completely free to us, isn't it? It's undeserved. But it is costly to God. Remember, forgiveness is always costly to the one who gives it. And even in this parable, it would have cost the king 10,000 bags of gold to forgive this servant's debt. He bore the cost of that. That would have been a huge cost even to a king. But of course, we know the reality is there was a far greater cost paid to secure our forgiveness, to pay for our debt. And ultimately, Jesus gave up his life. Imagine, if you can, all of our piles of debt. We all have a big pile of debt. All of those piles of debt, every one of them, all piled together and all placed upon Jesus Christ and credited to his account. And he paid for it. Every single last dime, so to speak, every dollar, every cent. He paid for every sin on the cross for all those who trust in him. God poured out his wrath. He poured out his anger, and he punished Jesus for every sin. A huge debt, and he paid it all. Jesus paid an enormous price, an enormous cost, in order to pay our debt. See, friends, that's what Good Friday is about. It's good because Jesus has paid our debt upon the cross so that we can be set free and completely forgiven. I wonder, have you settled accounts with God? Have you sought God's forgiveness? Have you, as it were, got down on your knees and asked him to forgive you, pleaded for his mercy? Because you know that you have a debt you cannot repay, but you also know that our God is a merciful God, and he will hear when you cry out to him. See, today you can have your debt cancelled. My guess is many of you have a mortgage. Some of you don't. One day you probably will. Many of us do. If I said today, I'm going to pay your mortgage off in full. Every person here who owns a mortgage, I'm going to pay it for you. It's a free gift. You don't have to earn it. I'm just going to pay it. And you're going to leave here today debt-free. My guess is you would be ecstatic. That would be wonderful news. You'd be cheering at that news. But the reality is you have a debt that you owe to God that is far, far, far greater than your mortgage. It won't just take you 20 years to pay off that debt. It will take you all eternity to pay it off. Its weight is far greater. The consequence of failing to pay it is far greater, far more significant. But today you can have that greater debt cancelled in full. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's a gift of God's mercy to those who cry out for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. So will you cry out, Lord, forgive me? Will you call on him today if you have yet to do that? Well, let's turn to our second servant. Our second servant, he also owes a debt. But this time, the second servant owes his debt to the first servant. His debt is 100 silver coins, or 100 denarii, about 100 days' wages. Not a small debt. But compared to 10,000 bags of gold, it is almost completely insignificant. It is nothing in comparison to 10,000 talents of gold. The 100 silver coins is nothing. It is small change in comparison. But it was also an equally unpayable debt for this second servant. He didn't have the 100 silver coins to repay. I just want to say to each other, say to you, when we sin against each other, and that's what this is talking about, right? The two servants owing debt, when we sin against each other, when we hurt each other, when we sin against each other, we always create an unpayable debt. You see, if I hurt you with my words, if I do something or say something with my actions that harms you, the reality is I cannot unsay those words and I cannot undo those actions. They're done. I can't take them back as much as I might want to. The hurt is caused, the debt is incurred. And no amount of kindness, no amount of contrition can undo what was done. The debt is incurred, and it is an unpayable debt. The only way that it can be undone is if it is cancelled and forgiven in full by the one to whom it is owed. So that when we sin against each other, it cannot be repaid. It can only be forgiven. Sin done against each other cannot be repaid. It can only be forgiven. And so the question to the one who is wronged is, will you forgive? Will you cancel that debt? Or will you hold on to it and in some way demand punishment? There's lots of ways that we demand punishment from each other, aren't there? I'll never talk to them again. Giving each other the cold shoulder. Maybe you withdraw your spouse for a while or give them that kind of mean look that they know what it means. Maybe a snide remark. We have lots of ways of demanding punishment. Well, this second servant, he is going to take that line. He is going to choose to demand punishment. The first servant is going to choose to demand punishment of the second servant. Let me pick it up from verse 28. It says, "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened." As we read this, we are meant to be outraged as well. We're meant to point our finger at this servant. We're meant to see that he's done wrong. How could he be so cruel, so unforgiving, when his great mountain of debt had been forgiven? See, it's self-evident, isn't it, that he should have forgiven. He had just been forgiven 10,000 bags of gold. Surely he can pass over the small change of 100 silver coins. We're meant to be outraged at this servant. And we're meant to agree with the just judgment that he faces in verse 32. It says, "The master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you?' Of course he should have. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed." I take it that picture of being tortured is one of hell, one of judgment. And of course, he could never repay it. He would be tortured forever. But again, we're meant to see that this is just. This is right. This wicked servant is deserving what they're getting. Having been forgiven so much, they should have forgiven such a little amount. Having been shown such mercy, to show no mercy, well, they deserve no mercy. They deserve what they get. And then Jesus turns to Peter, and he turns to you and I, and he says the punchline. It's there in verse 35. Jesus says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." unless you forgive them and you mean it. See, unless you forgive the smaller debts that people owe you, on the final day you might find, if you do not forgive them, that your greater debt has also not been forgiven, and that you'll have to pay your debt back to God in full. See, the parable packs a real punch at the end, doesn't it? It says, if you've been forgiven, you must forgive. And if you fail to do so, you may find that you are not forgiven at all. See, a forgiven people must be a forgiving people. If you have people in your life that you know you need to forgive, then you need to hear this. You need to take it to heart. And it might be that today you need to forgive someone truly from your heart, to cancel their debt, to carry no judge, no grudge, to demand no punishment. And of course, that's costly to you, isn't it? The forgiver bears the cost. You bear the hurt, and you let them off free. That's hard to do. But Jesus says you must do it. You must forgive again and again. You must forgive without limit. Now, that doesn't mean that we just kind of allow people to trample all over us, or that we just allow sin to go on and on and on. The passage before told us that we're to deal with sin. And it gave us a way to deal with it together as a church, and as a way to deal with it personally in our own hearts. But when we are wronged personally, one person to another, we are to forgive one another. The reality is every church is filled with sinful people. Forgiven people, yes. Changing, yes. But sinful nonetheless. That means that we are going to hurt each other. That's just going to happen. We're going to do things that hurt each other. We're going to say things that hurt each other. Debts are going to be created. That's just the reality. The same, of course, is going to happen anywhere in the world, isn't it? It happens in your workplace. It happens in your broader family. Everywhere, in every context you go, there are debts that are being held onto, aren't there? Debts incurred and debts being held onto. But the difference in the church is that we are to deal with our debts. We don't hold on to our hurts. We forgive them. We keep short accounts with each other. We forgive one another. Rather than punishing each other, rather than giving the cold shoulder, we don't demand payment or punishment. We forgive. We forgive again and again and again and again. See, the mark of the church is that we are a forgiving people. And the passage showed us how you can forgive like that. How you can forgive not just 7 times, but 77 times. You know, typically when we're wronged, what we do is we focus almost entirely on ourselves. At the moment that we're wronged, we think about the greatness of the wrong that's been done to us, don't we? And we run it through in our mind, and we think of the injustice that has been done to us and the wrong that has been done to us, and we feel a very justified anger at that. And we may begin to contemplate how we're going to get them back or how we're going to punish them in some way. And all of that comes because we're focusing on the 100 silver coins, the thing that had been done to us. That's where our focus is. But Jesus is the answer to forgiveness, to forgiving freely and wholly from the heart, to forgive again and again, is to stop focusing on the debt that is owed to you and instead focus on the greater debt that you have to God and that he has forgiven. See, what we need to do in that moment is to recognize and see Jesus taking our place on the cross for every wrong you have ever done and will ever do. Instead of focusing on the 100 silver coins, we're to set our attention, our heart, on the 10,000 bags of gold that we've owed to God and that he has wiped clean. We're to be amazed by the size of the debt that we have been forgiven. And if that's where our focus is, then we look at those 100 silver coins that are wrongs unto us, and it is nothing in comparison to all that we have been forgiven. See, when we're blown away by the mercy of God towards us, by the enormity of the debt that he has cancelled for us, that's where the power comes to forgive each other. We forgive because we have been forgiven so much more. Now, the reality is, I'm the greatest sinner I know. You're the greatest sinner you know. And God has forgiven your debt. And so we can forgive one another. And so next time you're wronged, when you're feeling hurt or angry at your spouse or your brother or sister in Christ, and you're tempted to kind of hold on to that, you're struggling to forgive, look away from yourself and look to the cross. See the nails of Jesus Christ and the blood that has been shed for you to forgive your enormous debt. Reflect on the greater wrongs that you have done and the greater forgiveness that you have been freely given when you are blown away by the grace and mercy of God to you in you forgiving you and giving you his son. There and there only do you find the power to forgive. Well, today is a good day. It's a good day because we're remembering the enormity of how much we have been forgiven by God through Jesus Christ. That he has paid our debt in full upon the cross. But it's also good because in seeing that, we can forgive each other our smaller debts. So my hope today is that every one of us go home completely debt-free. Forgiven by God through Jesus Christ, but also forgiving each other as well.